are Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giant fans. Welcome to another edition of Locked On Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast family, your team every day. My name is Patricia Traina, and I cover your New York Giants for a variety of places. Follow me on Twitter at Patricia_Traina, where you will find links to all my work. You'll also be able to ask me questions, interact with me, just like what we're going to do today. Today is going to be another Twitter mailbag day. I know it's a Wednesday. Normally we do these on a Tuesday or a Thursday, but so many great questions keep pouring in, and I really do want to try and keep up with your questions because, hey, you guys are the ones who make this show possible and who, you know, support the show, and I appreciate it. So it's the least I can do, right? So we have, I think we have a close to 30 questions for this show, and we're going to devote the next three segments to it. And just a reminder, this week's kind of a crazy week for me. Unfortunately, I got off track a little bit. I was sick earlier in the weeks and got off track just a little bit, but hopefully next week I'm going to get back on schedule regarding getting some guests in. I want to see if I can get some beat writers who attended the pro days recently and, you know, get them to come on and talk about their observations and whatnot. So just bear with me, folks. I promise I'll get everything together. It's just, this is kind of a crazy week, plus with the owners meeting and some other things going on. So, all right. With that said, let's jump right into your questions, and we'll kick it off with Todd Pirro, who wants to know, if they don't get a developmental quarterback in this draft, do they do your Eli extension plan for next year when inevitably they get their developmental quarterback high in the draft? And if so, how much cap room do you anticipate that creating? Todd, I do think they're going to get a developmental quarterback this year, but if for some reason they don't, then yes, I think it might make sense to extend Eli. Now, if the developmental quarterback is Josh Rosen, then I don't think they extend Eli. I think they're going to just take it 1 year at a time. I'm not sure I understand your question about the cap room, because there's different scenarios it can create. But if I'm the Giants, if I could get Josh Rosen on a trade, his cap number would be a lot lower than if I had to extend Eli for, you know, another 12 to 13 million plus a signing bonus. So you could be talking anywhere from about 20 million upwards if you have to extend Eli one more year. So I think ideally they would like to stay away from that. But, you know, as they said at the owners meeting this week, you know, we'll take it week by week, or not week by week, year by year. All right, next question comes from Ramesh Chandra, RamDude75. I still think they pulled the trigger on Haskins if he's at 6. If not, do you think they will move up? I really don't think so. I would be very surprised if the Giants move up. And if they do move up, I am firmly convinced it will not be for Haskins. I think if they are going to move up, maybe they do so for Quinnen Williams, who is a defensive player. I don't think they move up for Haskins. Next question comes from Adrian Machen, Adrian56. Do you think the Giants could package picks to trade up for Bosa or Allen? Jets said they are open for business. Bosa, no. Allen, I don't think so. I don't think they're gonna package picks to move up for those guys. Quinnen Williams would probably be a guy, like I said before, that I could see them moving up for. But I just have a feeling they're going to stay put where they are. I would be surprised if they move up. I hope they move up, but I would be surprised if they do that. Patricia Waterman wants to know, if the Giants don't plan on taking a quarterback this year, do you think they would trade down and add some additional draft capital next year? It's a possibility, Pat, but my guess is with that second first round pick at number 17, I think they are probably less inclined to do so. I would not mind if they traded down and got some additional picks. But look, they need so much in this draft. They really have to come out with a lot of positions filled. And I think they're going to, I don't want to say play conservatively, because I do think Gettleman will move up. I would be surprised if he moves down. I don't think that's going to be in the cards, but, you know, I just don't see it. I think you can have a good player at six and that you could be very happy with and plug in right from the start. Bo Sheck, at Sheck Bo. What seems to be the market for Josh Rosen? Is it possible that the team will give up a late first rounder? Bo, I think in an ideal scenario, if the Cardinals are making Josh Rosen available, I think they would like to get a first round pick. I do not think that they will get that. I think maybe they will get, they can reasonably expect a second round pick. So if I'm the Giants, I would consider giving up my second round pick if he becomes available. You know, again, having that extra first round pick does make a big difference. If the Giants did not have that, I would say maybe not. I wouldn't make that trade. But now that they have those additional picks, I would definitely consider it if I could get away with a second, or even better yet, if I could get away with a third. I would definitely pull it off if you know, that were the Cardinals' asking price. Next question comes from William Jamerson. With the current cap at a 10 to 11 million, I think he's referring to cap space. If the Rosen trade were to take place, how much would that affect the cap? Okay, William, according to Over the Cap, Josh Rosen's 2019 base salary is $570,000. The prorated signing bonus is $2.719 million. The Cardinals would be responsible for the prorated signing bonus. The Giants would have to pick up, it looks like, the $570,000 base salary plus a $709,000 roster bonus. So you're looking at roughly, looks like $1.279 million would be the cap number if the Giants were to acquire Rosen for 2019. And I'm just looking ahead. Rosen has low base salaries. In 2020, it's $660,000. 2021, $750,000. He also has roster bonuses, $1.4 million in 2020 and $2.1 million in 2021. So overall, you're talking, you know, a relatively low cap number if the Giants were to pick him up. You know, it would barely make a ripple on their cap. Next question comes from Brian Keenan. Why has so much of this fan base turned on Eli? He's the best quarterback in franchise history and a possible Hall of Famer. I don't understand why he's getting so much hate. Brian, you've got to ask the fan base that. I can't speak for them. What I have noticed, though, is that there are certain agenda-driven rhetoric coming out, and people are buying into it. There are other people who have formed their own opinions and believe that Eli is the constant denominator in, you know, the last several seasons. But you're right. This, to me, as far as I'm concerned, this hatred that's coming towards him, you know, it's over the top. I mean, yes, he's part of the problem, but to say he is the problem, to me, is just ridiculous and not true. Next question comes from Mr. Path wants to know any news on Mike Remmers. Is he the best free option, free agent option at tackle right now? And any sense on how Gettleman wants to solve right tackle free agency or draft? And then any chance Gettleman trades one of the three centers on the roster, and what would we expect for return? Okay, let's take the Remmers question first. My understanding is Remmers had back surgery in the offseason. He is not yet signed, so I don't know this for a fact. I'm just trying to connect the dots here, but I'm just wondering if the guy can pass the physical right now, which is why he might not be signed. So I guess to answer your question, no news on Remmers. He's not signed as far as I know, and again, I wonder if it has to do with the physical. Regarding how Gettleman wants to solve the issue, I think ideally he would like to put a veteran there, but, you know, this is also a very good class for offensive tackles, so I could see that being an option for them. And then as far as trading one of the three centers, you know, I thought about that, but, you know, you've got John Halapio is coming off of a broken ankle, so he's got to prove that he's healthy and can pass a physical. You know, Spencer Pulley has a new deal, and Evan Brown really doesn't have that much experience. So I'm not so sure that they would trade one of those guys right now. I think a lot's going to depend on how well Halapio continues to rehab and if he is indeed ready for the start of training camp. All right, you're listening to Locked On Giants with Patricia Traina. We are doing a Twitter mailbag session. Stay with us. We'll be right back, and I'll have more of your questions. Welcome back, Giant fans, to Locked On Giants. You're with Patricia Traina, still kind of battling a little bit of a head cold here, but, you know, soldiering onward. Lots of great questions from you guys for today's mailbag, so I hope you are enjoying this. And I did make an effort to try and get to every single question I received. I know some of the questions repeated, so if you don't hear your name, it doesn't mean I didn't see it. It means that I answered the question previously. All right, continuing onward, we'll start with Chip Tufis. Not counting the Super Bowl appearances and wins, who has the best overall quarterback statistically since coming into the NFL, Ben Rivers or Eli? Good question there. Let's go to the videotape and see. Okay, so if we are talking statistics, it's... Each guy hasn't played in the same number of games, so I don't know how accurate or how fair it is to compare the statistics. But let's see. Eli has thrown for over 55,000, almost 60,000, I'm sorry, almost 56,000 yards. Ben Roethlisberger, let me see what he's thrown for. Let's see. He has thrown for 56,194, so that's about compatible. And Philip Rivers is at 54,656. You know, just I guess looking at the stat line here, the stat lines are pretty compatible, but I think what you have to look at maybe is the wins and losses. I would say of the three, maybe put Roethlisberger, Eli, and then Rivers in that order. If you're talking about, you know, wins and losses, if you're talking about, you know, playoff appearances, and if you're talking about, obviously, Super Bowls, I would say maybe go in that order in terms of who's been more productive. But if you're talking about a different statistic, let me know. But you weren't really specific with that question. But I would say, you know, based on wins and losses, that would be the way I would go. Ruben Martinez wants to know, if the Giants draft a quarterback at 17, do you see them going with Jones, Locke, or Greer, or do you think they trade for Josh Rosen if Arizona drafts Murray? If Rosen is available, I think you make the inquiry and you find out if he can be had. If the asking price is too much, as in like a first-round pick, I probably would pass. And I think... it's going to come down, you know, if that is the case and the two guys are still on the board at 17, which, by the way, I don't think they will be. But if they are, I think it will come down to either Jones or Locke. I don't think Greer is going to be one of the options in there. But again, you don't know how the board is going to fall. You don't know who's going to jump up ahead of them. Just so many different factors. I mean, it's so hard to predict. That's one of the reasons why I don't want to do a mock draft until we get really, really close to the actual draft. It's so impossible to predict this. I mean, what's true today may not be true tomorrow. So, all right, continuing onward, the professor, what free agent not named Remmers would you sign if you were the Giants? I don't think there is anybody I can think of. The Giants don't have the cap space, so I haven't really thought about that. I'm paying attention to the money, and right now I don't think they have the cap space, and I think what they're going to do is they're going to fill remaining holes via the draft. Bill Castagna What will the Giants value more at number six, not including quarterback, edge, D-line, or inside linebacker? I don't think it'll be inside linebacker. I think it'll come down to edge or defensive lineman, both of whom, obviously, they're going to want to be able to rush passers. So I would say probably those two positions would be at the top of their list, if not, you know, the top priority. Chris Marmo, is there enough of a real difference to signing guys that have already played in an offensive-defensive system, such as saving money over signing more talented players that are not familiar with the scheme or system? Great question, Chris. Actually, from a financial standpoint, no, there's no difference. The only advantage we're really talking about is that the player is going to be familiar with the system, and therefore he's going to come up to speed a lot quicker than somebody who, you know, maybe played in a totally different system and has to learn from scratch. Let's see. Next one comes from, we have another question from Chip Tufus. How would you prioritize the positions of need from highest to lowest? Offensive tackle. I'm going to say defensive line, edge rusher. I'm going to say probably get a receiver in there. Probably want to get another cornerback in there. And I'm just trying to think, you know, maybe get a safety, another safety for down the line. But yeah, I think offensive tackle is definitely up there right now. And then that's going to be followed by defensive players. You know, you gotta rebuild that pass rush. They don't have a pass rush, folks. And that's a big problem. Next question comes from Ray Jersey. Is Sam Beal the projected starting corner opposite Jenkins? Yes, he is the projected starting corner. Dave Gettleman at the Combine said that if he was coming out of the draft this year, he would have had a second round grade. They, of course, spent the third round pick on him in the supplemental draft. So, yes, absolutely, they picked Sam Beal with the intention of starting him. John McDaris, assuming the Giants go pass rusher with the sixth pick, what do you see more likely at 17, quarterback, linebacker, or offensive line? How about, if we're talking about those three picks, I'm going to say probably quarterback. If we're talking about any position, I could see them maybe trading a pick. Well, I still say that, you know, if they're going to trade a pick, maybe it'll be their second or their third. At 17, see, a lot's going to depend on when they sign the offensive tackle. If they get that deal done, then that's going to change the whole complexion of what they potentially will do. I think it will. I mean, I know they say they do best players, but at some point you've got to marry best player with need. So I think they're going to probably change something up if they can get that offensive tackle. If they don't get that offensive tackle, then I can see them going defense, offensive tackle, and then going back to defense again. So that one really remains to be seen, if I'm being honest with you. But that would be my take on that. Yanks fan Paul wants to know the top draft targets for the Giants. Haven't gotten there yet. I will have a list of guys. I'm putting together a big board. I will try my hand at a mock draft, but I'm going to do something a little differently with the mock draft. I'm going to do what I call clusters at each position, or each draft slot, I should say. So hang on to that question, and we'll circle back and we'll answer that one in April as we get a little closer. I just have to do some more work on the draft before I can really sit here and say these are going to be the top targets. And let's see, next one comes from Marbles 108. Given Gettleman's history, I feel like we need to let his plan unfold before we judge. He has shown he knows how to draft winning players. How do you feel? I agree. I mean, everybody is sitting here and they're panicking because they don't know what the plan is, or they don't see what the plan is, or they're not trying to attempt to see what the plan is. Let it unfold. I mean, last I checked, games aren't played until September. You know, now, with that said, what I think Gettleman is doing, and I've outlined this in my articles on Forbes, I think what he is doing is he's setting himself up to have a very slim margin of error, which is dangerous and which makes me nervous. But listen, if they hit a home run with this draft class and get the guys that they want, I think they're going to be, you know, heading in the right direction. So let's let it play out. You're listening to Locked On Giants with Patricia Traina. We are answering your questions on a Twitter mailbag. Stay with us. When we come back, we will wrap it up with some more of your questions. Welcome back, Giant fans, to Locked On Giants. Patricia Traina here, and I'm going through your questions. This has actually become one of my favorite podcasts to do every week. Always get some great questions from you guys. I do appreciate them. And even if I can't answer them right at this moment, stick with me on it, guys, because ultimately, as we get a little closer and things start to clear up, I will be able to answer stuff. So don't be afraid to circle back with me if I don't get you the answer you're looking for. We can always revisit it as we get a little closer to the draft. All right, continuing on with your questions. Derek Haggett wants to know, what are the chances of Sterling Shepard and Evan Ingram finishing 2019 with the Giants, and what about 2020? I think 2019, they will both be on the team. 2020, that remains to be seen. I think of those two, Ingram has the better chance of being on the team. I think it would not surprise me if they let Sterling Shepard walk next year. But with that said, let me just remind you guys that next year, since it is the final year of the CBA, teams will be allowed to use both the franchise tag and the transition tag. So it's not like they have to, you know, make a decision on one or the other. I mean, Ingram's not even due for a contract next year, but, you know, the point being is, if they have, you know, if they want to put one tag on Sterling Shepard and another tag on I don't know, another player, and I haven't looked that far ahead to see who else is going to be a free agent, they don't have to make a choice. They can actually try and keep two. Next question comes from Tom Lapp, 66. What is the salary cap hit for the safeties that the Giants were able to pick up this year versus the cap hit Landon Collins would have been franchise? If Landon had been franchise, he would have counted for $11.015 million. Which is kind of a hefty amount. Let's see, Antoine Bethea. Let me see what he is. I don't have that handy. I just have to quick look it up. This via Over the Cap. Antoine Bethea would have come up for this year he counts for $3.625 million. And Jabril Peppers, I know he's on his rookie deal. So I think it's safe to say that the two of them combined would have counted for less than what it would have cost to franchise Landon. But let me just get you the, okay, let's see. Here's Jabril Peppers. He counts for, it looks like $1.405 million. So yeah, the two combined would have cost maybe a little more than half of what it costs than it would have cost to franchise Landon. Landon, of course, got the contract from Washington, averaging $14 million a year. There was just no way the Giants were going to meet that. That's just too rich for their account. Next one comes from Ethan. Jay Sachs wants to know, what are the latest rumors on the Rosen front and the estimated cost for a team in a trade? Kind of touched on that, Ethan. Right now, there are no rumors. Everything's kind of status quo. The Cardinals are not, you know, tipping their hand as to what they're going to do with the first overall pick. So really nothing to report there. And I don't know what a cost would be. I think it's all going to depend on if they do take Kyler Murray and they make Josh Rosen available, which we don't know if they are. So nothing really going on right now at that point. Jeffrey Attell Babka wants to know, your take on the build-rebuild debate. My eyes tell me they were always in rebuild mode, churning the roster while bringing in core leadership players at various levels. on short contracts to help the rookies achieve success. Crazy. You know what, Jeffrey? That's a great question. Thank you for submitting that. No, you're not crazy. I think you're exactly right with what you see. I think build and rebuild are used interchangeably. And when I think of the two words, rebuild to me means you're starting over from scratch. Whereas if you're building something, you're creating something new. And in a way, the Giants are creating something new. They're trying to create a new winning culture that hasn't really existed in that locker room since 2000. You can make an argument since 2012 or maybe even, you know, maybe 2013, you can make that argument for. But yeah, I think you're spot on with your observation. You know, they're bringing in these veterans. Yes, they're a little bit more pricey, but look, if they show these young kids how it's done and they help with the culture, then that's a good thing, I think. And I think that's ultimately what Gettleman and Shermer are trying to do. They're trying to rebuild that culture that got so badly damaged under the previous regime. So thank you for that great question. My man Marcel sees the moment. How many visits did the Giants get, and who could be a post June 1st cut? And I speculate the Giants like either Greer or Locke. Try Locke on that one. That's the guy whose name I've heard. I've also heard Daniel Jones's name. Have not heard Greer's name. That doesn't mean that they don't like him, but I have not heard his name mentioned. If you're talking about visits, you're talking about draft visits. I believe they get 30. Which not counting the pro day, or not the pro day, the local day, in which players who live in the area or go to school in the area can come in and not count against the visit total. As far as a post June 1st cut, I don't think there's going to be any cuts at this point. I think what we need to keep an eye on is maybe some restructures might happening. Like, I don't know, maybe they get Red Ellison's number down. Maybe they look to lower Kevin Zeitler's number down. So that's what I would keep an eye on. I just don't think they're going to do much in the way of cuts, if I'm being honest with you. Okay, a couple more questions. Richard G. This one came via email. Wants to know if the Giants don't pick up a quarterback this year, they will blame Gettleman for not picking one. There are no guarantees in 2020. The two backups have no experience. So what are the thoughts if this happens and possible another losing season? Okay, I guess you're asking me what are my thoughts if the Giants don't pick up a quarterback this year. Richard, I can sit here and say that I am 95% certain the Giants will pick up a quarterback. I'm not saying it's going to be at 6. I'm not saying it's going to be at 17. I am saying that I am 95% certain that somewhere they are going to pick up a quarterback to compete for this roster based on what Pat Shermer has said in the past. So I don't think you have to worry about that. Now, will that guy necessarily challenge Eli Manning? He could. I mean, it depends on who he is. If it's Josh Rosen, I don't think that will happen. I don't think even if the Giants did pick up and draft a quarterback in the first round, that kid would have sat anyway behind Eli. So this whole idea that, you know, oh, they're going to have another losing season. I mean, let's see what the Giants do if they put better talent around Eli. Maybe, you know, who knows? Maybe the results are going to be a lot different. Maybe they'll be the same. We don't know. I'm curious to see how it unfolds myself. Hopefully, you know, everybody else will as well. Next one is from Kevin P. Call me overly optimistic, but tell me why the Giants won't make the playoffs, assuming the following reasonable things occur. They sign an average veteran right tackle or have a high draft pick, round one or two. Remainder of draft is defensive heavy and they get two high pass rushers, which gives you a good rotation. Marcus Golden bounces back to what we think he really is in safety position with Bethea, and Peppers performs as expected. You know what, Kevin? I think you have to throw in there, you know, Eli's performance, obviously. You have to throw in there, you know, how are they going to make up for Odell's production, which is very important. And dare I say, we have to consider injuries. You know, if injuries start wiping players out, then all bets are off. But with all things being equal, with the 4 points you outline, yeah, I think it's fair to be overly optimistic. I don't see any reason why. Playoffs, though, if they do qualify for a playoff, we're probably thinking a wild card, and I'm not thinking they go very deep. But hey, look, you got to start somewhere, right? All right, final question is from Phil L. And let's see, is it crazy to believe this team will be better off letting a 2020 quarterback, ideally from Tua or Herbert, take over after plugging a ton of defensive holes in the draft? No, I don't think that's crazy at all. I really don't. But with that said, I still say, if they do draft a quarterback next year with the eye of making that kid their franchise, I could see him sitting for a bit behind a veteran. Think of what happened when Eli came into the league, how he sat for half a season behind Kurt Warner. That's exactly what I would see for the next franchise quarterback. I don't think he's going to step right in and be a starter from day one. I don't think the Giants want that to be the case in an ideal scenario. Now, can things change? Will circumstances warrant, you know, a change in plans? Always, you have to keep that door open. But in an ideal scenario, they have a veteran, preferably Eli, grooming the next quarterback. And, people call that the Kansas City plan. But hey, that was the Giants plan way back when, you know, they had Kurt Warner, like I said, on the team. They signed him after Kerry Collins had left. And Kurt Warner helped to groom Eli and did such a good job of it. So that's how I think the Giants would prefer to play it out. Okay, folks, that addresses all your questions. I hope I got everybody. And if I missed your question, it either came in too late or I might have missed it. But I will go back and I'll check for the next mailbag. So thank you so much for the fantastic questions. And thank you, as always, for listening and for being patient with me this week with a kind of crazy week. Like I mentioned at the top of the show, we will get things back on track. And hopefully you'll enjoy the content coming up. Not just this week, but coming up in the next several weeks. So on that note, folks, I'm going to call it a show. This is Patricia Traynor for Locked on Giants. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk soon.